Awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet or meet you, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all doing exactly what I just mentioned. And it's an honor and a privilege to get to share. It's an honor and a privilege to get to share the Word of God with you all today. And before I jump into the continuation of our series on the Holy Spirit, I want to read to you something out of the book of Acts. It's not going to pop up on the screen, and that's totally okay. But it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Listen, I'm so thankful for the Word of God and the promises that He speaks over us. And I'm so thankful for this promise, that we will receive the Holy Spirit, that all people will receive. It's not limited to a select few. And Jimmy Young Jr. did a phenomenal job last week speaking on the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and what we received on that day. Didn't he do a great job? Yeah. He did phenomenal. And you're clapping for a gift, not for a man. You're clapping for the gift that God placed within Jimmy. And that was his bride up here singing too, Taylor. She does phenomenal as well. We're going to talk more about all those gifts and what that looks like. And our message today is, what does it look like for you to walk in your ordinary, everyday, mundane life at times in the power of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? So many of us, we get really concerned, we get really scared because of something we don't know. And then we experience that thing that we don't understand, that we don't know, and we have a little bit of peace. We walk differently. And that's what I'm believing for today, for all of us, that we would walk differently with the Holy Spirit leading us and empowering us because we understand Him a little bit more. Before we fully jump into our message today, I want to give you an example of what it looks like to be moved and empowered and used by the Holy Spirit. You all ready for it? It's going to be a visual example. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Victoria's the only one that answered. So, like, I saw some head nods and everything, but she said, yeah. So, should I just go show Victoria?
Yeah.
You all want to see it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you so much for what you all did at the Memorial Day Parade. Here it comes. It's happening.
Boom. Whoa.
Thank you. This picture, one of my favorite photos that we get to take every year. And this picture is a picture of people that were empowered, equipped, and challenged by the Holy Spirit to do something in their community. And why am I so excited about this picture? Because yesterday I was at an event for a friend who has ALS and it's progressing, and there was a fundraiser for him and his family, and I had the blessing, the honor, and privilege of being a part of it. And yesterday I was at an event with about 500 people throughout the day, and I can give you at least 10 examples, names of people that came up to me and said, hey, I saw what the church did on Memorial Day. That's so awesome. Yeah. Hey, I saw the people just moving in such excitement and joy on Memorial Day in the parade. That's so awesome. It's so great to see that things are going great at the church. Hey, I saw the people at the Memorial Day parade. How in the world do you get all those people to walk in that parade? And I got to have conversation after conversation after conversation that has nothing to do with us. It had everything to do with, we want people to see who's in us. And every person I talked to, I was like, hey, you know, we're open on Sundays. Every Sunday, we're open. And some of them said, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. We'll see if they show. Some of them said, I don't know. And that's the Mon Valley way for saying, if I walk in there, the roof's going to fall in. Right? We all know those people. Some of us were those people. Amen. Now listen, there were seeds planted in thousands of people's lives because of you all. Because your faith to put on a t-shirt and walk in a parade. We didn't just hand out Turner's tea. We didn't just hand out invites. We handed out a visual expression of what joy looks like, of what peace looks like, of what a life submitted to him looks like. And I know what some of you are thinking. I'm in that photo, and I don't have that. May today be your day. May today be your day that you fully receive that and you fully walk in it and you fully allow for the Holy Spirit to move both in and through you. Our prayer today is that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit will overcome your everyday life. And he isn't something that you're scared of because you don't understand. You know, much of what we pass off as New Testament Christianity, it's really nothing more than churchianity. It's not even Christianity, it's churchianity. Why? Because you show up on Sunday. You're polite, you listen. Every once in a while, if the worship team's doing a phenomenal job, you'll clap your hands. Sometimes you'll utilize the words that we put on the screen so that you can sing along. You're not just singing along to a song. You're prophetically speaking those things over your life. That's the word of God we're singing. I have chapter and verse for every song we just sang. We add a little Jesus to our already overcrowded, unbelievably busy lives. That's what we do. But I would say that most of us are living in the Old Testament Christianity. And that tells us that there's certain people that are anointed. There's certain people that are appointed to positions and things to do. There's certain people that are important. And then there's the rest of us. Oh, that's good for them. That's just for them. Oh man, they've worked so hard. That's just for them. No, New Testament Christianity is not for us to just go to church on Sunday or attend a small group during the week or just make sure that you changed your radio station to K-Love. There's so much confusion about the Holy Spirit. And what does confusion lead to? Fear. Misunderstanding. The whole entire book of the book of Acts in the Bible is trying to get us and those individuals to relate to the third person of God. And they were confused. How could we not be confused? It's okay to be confused. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I need to understand that more. It's totally normal. Why? Because we see it in the book of Acts. We see it. And we see and understand the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to see an example of it today with the worship team. They were not just functioning and gifting. They were walking in the anointing of God on their lives. There's a difference. There's musicians in the world that are unbelievably gifted. But if they were walking in the anointing and power of God, something way bigger than album sales would happen. We think about that preaching that you saw that's anointed, that you listened to. We think about that prophecy that you received from somebody that was anointed from God. We think about those things, but we don't understand what it means. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I love that word. Let's all say Zerubbabel. Isn't it fun? The Bible's fun. I hope when you go to lunch today, you go grocery shopping today, you're Zerubbabel. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This is what Old Testament anointing looks like, that it was external, that it was temporary, that it was conditional, that it was for just a specific person at a specific time for a specific task. That's what Old Testament anointing looks like. The examples are going to pop up behind me on the screen, so you could take some notes. This is what Old Testament anointing looks like. But in Exodus 30:30, anoint Aaron and his sons, also consecrating them to serve me as priest. This is an example of certain people that received that outpouring. What are some more? Saul, David, Elisha. I can't read you all the verses, but I can give you the reference points so that you can look and see what the Old Testament told us about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What's New Testament anointing of the Holy Spirit look like? It's eternal, internal. It's something for us. It's something that dwells within us. This word, universal, it really means that it's inclusive. It's for everyone. This word, continual, it's continuing to progress in our lives. The more we get to know the Holy Spirit, the more we walk with Him, the more He leads us, the more He guides us, the more that He protects us, the more our daily living is changed, the more spiritual discernment we walk in, the more clarity for the direction of which He's leading us is ours, all of us. Not just a select few. This anointing is not just somebody smearing oil on your forehead and making you greasy. You've all been there. That's not, yes, that's a representation, but what does that represent? It represents God pouring out His power and His presence in and on our lives. Jesus told us that He will always be with us, that we're not alone. We'll never walk alone. We all get anointed. Red letters of Jesus here. He's quoting Isaiah 61, Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus wants to give us. This is what Jesus wants us to walk in. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Romans 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life for your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. God wants us to walk in His holiness and His presence all the days of our life. He doesn't just want you to have these little mundane moments. He wants you to be led. And what's a sign of His Holy Spirit? Listen, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in another message. I'm going to try my hardest not to go into it today because I'm excited about it. But a sign is that you're becoming more and more holy. You're becoming more and more convicted of things in your life that need to change. You're becoming more and more like Jesus every day. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit. That is a sign. So I have a question. When's the last time you experienced an amazingly God-ordained spiritual moment? You experienced a moment in your life, in your Monday through Saturday, that was completely anointed by God and you knew it. God wants you to have those moments. God wants you to have such a holiness coming out of your life that people see it and they experience it and things around you are changing. I'm going to tell you a story because I had one yesterday. I'm at this event and this man walks in and I see him and I noticed him. I didn't recognize him. I noticed him. He had long dreadlocks and a long beard. And, you know, I look at hair like that. I'm like, man, what would it be like? And I start walking over to where he's at, and I see on the back of his shirt, he has a shirt with nail-scarred hands. And I had to talk to him about it. And I tapped him on the back. And I said, hey, man, I love your shirt. And I started to walk away. And he turned around. He's like, Nick. And I'm like, hey. And he had a cross on his chest on his shirt. And I looked at him. I was like, hey, man, how are you? He's like, you have no idea who I am, do you? And I said, just keep talking. I'll get there. And he looked at me. He said, Jaeger. I grew up with him. Traveled with him. And I know where he lives. I know who he lives across the street from. I didn't know he had dreads and a big beard anymore. I didn't know that. And I hugged him so hard. And I said, man, I love your shirt. I never thought I'd see you wearing a shirt like that. And he's like, I met Jesus in a real radical way, man. And he shared his testimony with me. And he was not just somebody that was walking in like this behavior modification. No, he was walking in the presence and the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this moment was so God-ordained. I got to see the Holy Spirit overcoming somebody's life. He said, I'm different, man. And it was amazing. And I'm going to talk more about it here in a moment, but this Holy Spirit anointing, this indwelling of power and presence of the Holy Spirit is for us to accomplish what Jesus has given us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of his power, that your faith should be in the wisdom, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, this is more than just a belief system. This is more than just doctrine. This is more than just theology. This is about your life being changed and transformed and allowing for others to see it. That's what me coming in contact with Brandon yesterday helped me to see. And then he got to talk with me about, he was pointing around the room. He's like, hey, I've been fishing for him. And another friend of mine growing up, his name, Shrub, came up to me. He said, Brandon caught me. I said, what are you talking about, Shrub? He's like, I met Jesus. I've been reading my Bible every day. I was like, where are you going to church, man? He's like, nowhere yet. I was like, well, let me tell you about this place. So here's my question. Why don't we apply this power to our everyday, ordinary lives, not just our Sunday morning life? Why? Why don't we do everything in the power of the Holy Spirit? Why? He wants to engulf your entire life. He wants to change you in such a way that the people around you are changing. You got a glimpse of it on Memorial Day. You got to see people. You got to invite people. You got to share what it looks like to be walking in joy and peace in the presence of God. You got a glimpse of it. But that's, listen, God wants to put you on parade every single day. Every day. This power that we get to walk in. Jesus was telling the disciples not to do anything until the Holy Spirit arrives. Once again, Acts 1, chapter verse 4 of Acts 1. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he had promised, as I told you before, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, all through McKeesport and the surrounding area. The Bible's fun. When I read that verse, I just think of, I think of Lion King, whenever Simba's sitting next to Mufasa, and Simba asks Mufasa what the Badlands were, and he's like, you shall never go there, Simba. What'd Simba do? He went there. Right? We're called to go everywhere. We're called to go into the darkest places. We're called to go to the ends of the earth and share the gospel. And I'm telling you, that the loudest gospel you will ever preach will be the way that you live your life. The loudest gospel that you ever preach will be the way you live your life and how others see it. Brandon got to share his testimony with you yesterday, and he's a state trooper. He's a detective for the Pennsylvania State Police, and he's 5 years away from retiring, which is insane to hear that from somebody that you grew up with. I mean, granted, he is 3.5 years older than me. But his coworker shared Jesus with him. His boss said, hey, man, I want to encourage you. Why don't you start reading the Bible? He knew what he was going through in his life. And he's like, I tried that before. I don't understand it. He's like, you're reading the wrong book. And he left it at that and walked away from him. He came back. He had bought him a study Bible. He said, listen, I want you to read this. And I don't want you to tell anyone. What do you mean you don't want me to tell? No, I don't want you to tell anyone. Just read it consistently and see what happens. He started reading his Bible by himself. His wife would go to sleep a few hours before he did. They worked different shifts. She's a stay-at-home mom, and he was, you know, working shifts and turns and had cases and all this stuff. So he would stay up late at night, and he would read his Bible. And the first person that recognized was his wife. She came, and she's like, something's different about you. What's different? He's like, what do you mean something's different? She's like, you're just walking different. You're talking different. Your life looks, what's different? Guess what he got to point to? The book. He said, honey, I've been reading the Bible. She's like, well, you've been reading what? And he's like, yeah, it's changing me. It's transforming who I am. When you have that moment that somebody sees something different in you because of what Jesus is doing in your life, it'll change you. I remember mine. My best friend, Dustin, his wife now, Ashley, I went to their house, what was Ashley's house at the time, and she said, Nick, there's something different about you. You're so joyful. I was like, Ashley, I've always been joyful. She's like, Nick, you were always drunk. My statement still rings true. She's like, no, Nick, what you were doing brought you joy. Now you're just joyful. There's something different about you. Rachel's been so good for you. I said, it has nothing to do with Rachel. It has everything to do with who she introduced me to. Grammy. No, just Jesus. Sorry, Deb. And I got the point to him, and I remember that was the moment that I was like, man, I got to walk in this. So here's my question for you. Is your life outwardly showing what God's done on the inside of you? Acts 19 is another example. Acts 8 is another example. I want you to know that God has more for you than just a ticket to heaven. He has so much more for you than just an entry to heaven. He doesn't want us to wait for the goal. He wants us to walk in it now. We're called to help people experience heaven on earth. Listen, I'm ecstatic about salvation. I'm over the top joyful about it. It's great. Salvation is wonderful. But that's not the end goal. Through your salvation, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that gift is given to you so that you can walk in power and the adventure of life. The Holy Spirit's to give you life and life abundantly. Are you walking in it? Have you opened the gift? How many of you have received a gift before? Like somebody gave you a gift. If you haven't, just look around for the people that don't have their hands up. Bring them a gift next week. Okay? But some of us, we've received that gift that somebody will walk over and they'll hand it to us and, hey, I got you something. And then they leave. And then we've all received those gifts when somebody hands it to you and they're like, open it. Open it now. Real quick, open it. Because they can't wait to see your reaction. I sat there with Rob. Rob retired as being an elder of the church a few years back, and I had the joy and the privilege and honor of going to get him his gifts. He's wearing the watch right now. And let me see.
A little bit.
And he's wearing a cologne, too. He's almost out of the cologne. He's almost out. He's got a little bit left. It's Polo Red Intense if you want to get him a bottle. You're welcome. They have it at Sam's now. So next time you're perusing through. But I remember him getting the gift, and I couldn't wait for him to open it. Open it. Open it. Open it so I can set the watch, because I know you're not going to be able to figure that part out. Like, open it. That's a true story. That's a true story. I can't help but think that that's what God's doing with each and every one of us. I know they met my son, but I can't wait for them to open this gift. I can't wait for them to start walking in it. I can't wait for them to start wearing it. I can't wait for them to smell different. I can't wait for them to understand time differently. It's serious. He's waiting for you to open the gift. It's your choice whether or not you do. This power that we get to walk in is not to just change our lives. It's to change the lives around us. And guess what? When we don't open the gift, it breaks God's heart. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. God wants you to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? Time. Spending time with him. Jesus tells us that we're not to do anything without the Holy Spirit. If we're not to do anything, that means we get a lot of time to spend with him. Let's think about Peter. He was afraid of a little girl, and then he goes on to preach to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Did that in the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit will be with all of you. Every day, leading, warning, comforting, counseling. We didn't just get the Holy Spirit so that we could gather together. We didn't just receive the power of the Holy Spirit so we could do one thing every once in a while. We received the power of the Holy Spirit so the people at your workplace, the people at your kids' activities, the people at the gym, the people in your neighborhood could see and experience the anointing and the power of God and his Holy Spirit. You don't need an anointing to preach. Some of you are searching for that. No, you need an anointing for your life, your everyday, ordinary life. Some of you, I wish I was anointed. I pray I was anointed to lead worship. Well, guess what? You might not be, but you're anointed to go into your workplace and be different. You're able to have a marriage that's different. You're able to have kids that are different. You're able to have this holiness in your life that is pointing to something way bigger than you and me and us, him. You're given the Holy Spirit so you can walk in faith. So if you want more of it, more examples, I'm going to give you a bunch of references for the red letters of Jesus, the words of Jesus. I can't read you every verse. I can't put every verse on the screen, but what I can do is tell you that we were given a gift, and that gift is a comforter. And I'm not talking about like a comforter and a duvet and some pillowcase. I'm talking about somebody that's going to bring you comfort in the times that you need it most. A counselor. Somebody's going to lead you and listen to you and direct you. You were given, we were given confirmation of this because of the words of Jesus. We were given the ability to walk in courage and boldness. We were given the ability to have somebody so close beside us advocating for us constantly. We were given the gift of being able to be convicted of our sin, not condemned, but convicted to move forward and move differently. We were given a gift to be set free ourselves and to help others that are in captivity be set free. That is what we've been given. So my question, why haven't you opened the gift? Hopefully, you'll be able to see more and more ways of the Holy Spirit and his manifestations in your life at your workplace, at your home, in your family. But there's barriers in our life that keep us from walking in the gift and opening the gift. What are they? Bad experiences. You've had bad experiences with church. I don't want what they have. I don't want the Holy Ghost. I ain't scared of no ghosts, but I don't want that one. That's weird. We're afraid of things that we don't know. I don't want to be the weird guy at church. Listen, the quicker you embrace your weird, the better off you're going to be. Because the Holy Spirit wants to engulf your everyday, ordinary life. And he wants you to be used in places that you don't even think that he's present with. He wants you to be used at the grocery store. He wants you to be used at that restaurant. He wants you to be used everywhere. Let me give you a really ordinary, mundane example. You want to put the Holy Spirit in your life and ask him to move? Pray for him to be with you and give you an opportunity when you're going grocery shopping on Friday or Saturday or Sunday or any time at Costco, any day. Never not busy. I had a perfect example of this the other day. I was at Walmart North Huntington. The line was long. It was my second time waiting in the line because what I got in line for the first time wasn't ready, so I had to wait in line again. And I was just praying, God, just give me a moment. And I'm standing there. Worship team, you can start to make your way up. I'm standing there. And this little old lady walks up behind me. She's not there 10 seconds. And you could hear, this line's ridiculous. You know when somebody talks and they don't open their mouth and they grind their teeth? This line is ridiculous. And I'm standing there. She's behind me. And I'm like, here we go, God. And I turn around. I said, hey, how are you doing? She said, not good. I'd be doing better if I didn't have to wait in this line. I was like, yeah, I feel you. I don't like lines either, but, you know, I pray that I would just be able to enjoy the company of the people that I'm in line with. And she looked at me, and she was like, thanks, I needed that. And I said, I know. Within 5 minutes, I got to hear about her husband who recently passed away. I got to hear how he provided everything for her, set up everything for her. Now she has to figure out like her health insurance because he was a retired insurance broker. And now he has to figure it out because people were changing things. And I got to hear about the landscaping at her house, and I got to give her a contractor's name, and I got to hear about how she might be going to Giant Eagle instead of Walmart. And I was like, well, listen, I hope you meet some nice people in that line too, because the lines are long. And she said, hey, thank you so much. I was like, hey, it's a joy, it's an honor, a privilege. I was like, I'm going to go up, we're next. and I walked away. God can use the most ordinary moments of your life to make a huge impact. That lady might never stand in line the same. Ever again. Pray for those moments. Ezekiel 47, verse 3. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. Another 1,750 feet and it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet and the river was too deep to walk across. It was up. It was so deep that we could swim in it, but too deep to walk through. You're talked about in these verses. You're like, how in the world could I be talked about? We're going to talk about it. But before I move forward, I have to feed my OCD and slightly ADHD diagnosis that I recently admitted to Rachel. I got a new tape measure this week. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. I like it a lot. And it's only 25 feet. Could you imagine marking off 1,750 feet? Could you imagine the tape measure that was used? All right, let's keep it moving. This text. Some of us are only up to our ankles. We've received salvation. That's phenomenal. That's great. Some of us we're knee deep. We're starting to walk in church life. We're starting to serve a little bit, or at least to understand the availability and the positions that I could be a part of. Some of us, we're up to our waist, and this is where it starts to get challenging. Because you have to brace yourself a little bit more. You're walking through things differently. You have to be entrenched in what's going on in your life and yourself. But this is where a lot of people stop. Why? Because you're starting to get worried that you're not going to be in control of everything. You're starting to brace yourself and you're keeping your hands in your pockets and you're protecting yourself and you're guarding yourself. Waist deep is when you start thinking, maybe I could be one of those people that raise my hands and surrender to God. Maybe I could be one of those people that clap on beat. Maybe you could be one of those people that sing along. Maybe you can get beyond your own control. And I know we got some control freaks in this house. We feel where we're at currently. We know that it's changing us, but we refuse to go any further. What's it look like when you're over your head? You know that he's carrying you where he wants to take you. When you're in over your head, you have no control. You could think, you could kick your feet and wave your hands and try to doggy paddle, all that stuff. But you're not in control. He will not let you stay where you are when you're in over your head. You don't just attend small group anymore. You start leading one. You don't just start attending church. You start becoming the church. What does that mean? That you're the same in here as you are out there. And people are being changed because of it. You jump in with complete abandon and you're totally fine. So my question is, what would it look like if you went all in? Verses 6 and 7, he asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, there along the riverbank, there were many trees on one side and the other side. When we get in over our head, there's life there. Life and life abundantly. But where does it start? When we're ankle deep. salvation. So if you're in this place and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received the greatest gift that's ever been given or will be given, let today be your day. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things in the world. I wish I had a pool right now. I'd tell you to jump in. But I'm just going to ask you to reach to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time where I have received the gift of salvation. Anyone at all today, don't let this moment pass. Maybe you're like me and you're afraid to raise your hand. You can tap your phone on the card on the seat in front of you and let us know you want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past and leader of your future. And we'll pray with you, we'll call, we'll encourage, we'll empower you, we'll equip. Father God, I thank you for this amazing group of people. I thank you for who they are, who they were created to be. God, I praise you for everything that you've done. I thank you for everything that you're doing. And I stand here with unbelievable expectation of everything you have planned to do. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.